With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome to episode number 81 of the Scottish History Podcast. My name is Owen Innes and this time we're going to be moving on and continuing on from episode number 80, where we're going to be going into the Dúnaoiseach and into the Waternish Peninsula on this particular episode of the Isle of Skye. So please join me for episode number 81 of the Scottish History Podcast. So, folks, continuing on from last time, one of the biggest cliffhangers that you've ever experienced in podcast land, I would imagine. So first of all, I'll just very quickly explain what's kind of been happening in Owen land for the last few months. First of all, I've been getting my flat ready for selling, so that's been encapsulating quite a lot of my time. I also started a new job. I'm now working for the tour company Rabies here in Edinburgh. So check out the Rabies tours if you are venturing over to Scotland at some point in the near future. And at the end of this particular month, I'll be going back to my favourite place on Earth, as I'm sure you'll all know by now, is the Isle of Orkney. There's been quite an awful lot kind of going on during the time off that I've been having. So again, apologies for the lack of episodes. I think we're really going to be quite ad hoc for the foreseeable future until I can really get myself in gear and really get some time to properly sit down and write episodes. So let's just crack back on then. So indeed, continuing on from the last episode, we will start with telling the third and final tale of the Dunvegan Fairy Flag. So this tale is the Fairy Bridge Tale. Now, one of the former chiefs of MacLeod was married to a fairy. However, they were only allowed to be wed for exactly 1 year and 1 day. Now, the spot where they parted companies was at the so-called Fairy Bridge, located near Dunvegan Castle, just off the side of the road called the A850. If you're looking it up on Google Maps, you can just type in Fairy Bridge Skye and that'll take you straight to it. So the fairy princess gifted the chief the fairy flag as a goodbye gesture and told the chief that if the MacLeods needed any assistance in battle in future, they should wave the flag and the fairies would come and help to ensure a victory. The fairies, however, stated that the flag's magic could only be achieved 3 times. Now, the flag has been produced twice during clan battles, and on both occasions, against all of the odds, the MacLeods were victorious. Further stories include that in 1939, during a fire at Dunvegan Castle, the flag was saved and carried outside. Upon doing so, the flames of the fire died completely and the wind outside completely dropped. As well, it was reported that all of the Clan MacLeod members who fought during the Second World War carried a photograph of the fairy flag with them. Every single Clan MacLeod soldier who did this survived through to the end of World War II. Now, the next place you may choose to visit on the island is the Cleggan Coral Beach. Now, this is accessible by a drive around the back of Dunvegan Castle. So there's a little road that goes around the back of the castle. You head towards the main car park, which would be on your right-hand side. Castle entry on your left-hand side. You just keep driving that road. It's I think it's about 5 miles or so on single-track roads. At the beach there is a small car park. So this is definitely not a stop for small bus tours or even motorhomes or even caravans. It's very, very small and windy road. The beach is about a 1 mile walk away from the car park. So that's another thing to take into consideration. The beach itself, however, is not made from coral. It is in fact made up of fossilized and then sun-bleached algae. And then at low tide, you can also visit the small tidal island of Lampe for absolutely stunning sea views. Now, I must admit on this bit, I did mess up a little bit, because this bit should have been on the Dunvegan Dúrinis part of the podcast. But yeah, I messed up. So, if you then carry on onto the Waternish Peninsula just now, which is signposted right at the ferry bridge, so you're going to pull off of the main road at the ferry bridge there, so it's always worth a quick little stop. As you drive along the main road there, you may wish to stop in a variety of different places. First place is called Hallin, which is just outside and can also be known as Hallista, which is a small little settlement. And while you're there, you can either visit Hallin Church, attributed to the man that we've talked about a few times and has mentioned a couple more times in this episode, Thomas Telford, the builder of the Caledonian Canal, or even Dunhallin Broch Ruins, which give fantastic views of the sea. As you can maybe gather as well, I'm pretty obsessed with brochs, so they're always fantastic to see. The images of this one online, I've not been to it personally, but the images of this one online look absolutely stunning. Now, also for more sea views, right at the end of the road, again, you'll just come to a road end along the Waternish. You can also take the hike to the Waternish Point Lighthouse. Neist Point is more accessible than this one because you will be traipsing for a long time to get there. But if you do decide to do that, you can also take an Unish House and Clearance Village along the way. So that's part of that hike out to the Waternish Point Lighthouse. Now, another increasingly popular spot in Waternish is Trumpen, with the ruins of Trumpen Church, which of course has its own little story to tell. Now, in 1578, the Clan MacDonald of Uist travelled the seas to Trumpen Church. They locked the entire congregation of MacLeod members inside and then set it on fire. Now, there was only one sole survivor, a young girl who managed to somehow squeeze out of a window at the church. The young girl then ran the 10 miles to Dunvegan, where she raised the alarm to the MacLeods. The MacLeods then immediately sprung into action. They ran out towards Trumpen, where they found the MacDonalds at their boats in Ardmore Bay, where the MacLeods killed all of the MacDonalds. The MacDonalds' corpses were then dragged to a turf wall, also known as a dyke in Scotland, where they were then buried. Afterwards, this particular battle became known as the Battle of the Spoiling Dyke. It is also said that it is one of the two battles that the MacLeods raised the fairy flag. So this incident was, however, all a try for retribution, in a way, for a massacre of the MacDonalds on the Isle of Eigg, which is spelled E-I-G-G, in 1577. The MacLeods raided Eigg, where the MacDonalds then ran and hid in a cave. The MacLeods set a fire at the entrance of the cave to try and force the MacDonalds out of it. But because some of the wood that they had set alight was quite damp, it just produced a lot of smoke. which then, instead of forcing the McDonald's out of the cave, all of the 395 McDonald's inside of that cave, which was actually the population of the entire island at the time, suffocated to death with the smoke. Now, if you do visit Egg, now there's one of the topics we don't talk about in Scotland at the moment is the disastrous ferry issues. So if you are going to be relying on any ferries, be careful, because a lot of them are cancelled at the moment. But if you do visit Egg, which you can get to from Malik, then you can visit this particular cave, which is now called Massacre Cave. Now, Trumpen Church, in the township of Trumpen, is also the resting place of Rachel Cheesley, or Lady Grange. Now, she had married a man called James Erskine, who'd become Lord Grange. Now, he was a successful lawyer and Jacobite sympathiser. Together, they did have 9 children, but Lady Grange had somewhat of a bad temper. Now, issues then arose in the marriage, and Lady Grange regularly threatened suicide, as well as threatened to kill Lord Grange herself as well. Now, she also accused Lord Grange of treason, but she then tried to book a stagecoach to leave Edinburgh for London, at which point Lord Grange and some of his friends arranged for Lady Grange to be kidnapped. Now, during the initial kidnapping, Lady Grange lost some of her teeth in the process due to the struggle. Now, she was held captive for 13 years, being moved all around the Highlands of Scotland and various of the other islands, and when she died, it was the 12th of May 1745, so realistically just a month after the Battle of Culloden, at the age of 66, in the house of a man called Rory McNeill. Rory McNeill lived at Trumpen, where he then buried her in the churchyard. Now, for unknown reasons, a second funeral was held in Durinish later on that same year, where a crowd gathered to watch the burial of the so-called Lady Grange, which was actually just a coffin filled with turf and stones. Now, this particular story is an extremely fascinating story, one that definitely deserves further explanation as well. So there is a lot more to this particular story, but obviously trying to fit it all into one episode where I'm talking about various other things at the same time. I'm going to come back to this at some point and dedicate an entire episode just to Lady Grange of Trumpen. Now, the last recommendation on this particular episode is to visit the township of Stein, spelled S-T-E-I-N. In 1790, the British Fisheries Society planned for a fishing port to be built at Stein, which was again to be designed by the man Thomas Telford. However, due to a lack of interest, mainly because the area was very much a crofting area, not a fishing area, a small port, effectively a pier, was built in the end. Now, the existing pier, as well as much of Waternish in general, is great for stargazing and on occasion to even see the Aurora Borealis or the Northern Lights. In Stein as well, the Scottish folk singer Donovan lived there for a little while during the 1970s, so if you're a fan of Donovan, then that's always a good spot. And as well, the Stein Inn in Stein is the oldest pub on the Isle of Skye, dating back to the 18th century. Again, there are also rumours that Bonnie Prince Charlie visited Stein Inn, all of that type of thing. Now, it was taken over by a Michelin star chef maybe a year or so ago. However, the reviews of the Stein Inn vary from incredible to very, very poor. So, in regards to this one, I would recommend that you check TripAdvisor check up on some reviews before deciding whether to either stay or dine there. It is definitely closed on a Monday and a Tuesday at the moment due to various staffing issues that the whole of Scotland and very particularly the Isle of Skye seem to have. So check out reviews on TripAdvisor. But again, it seems to be a great place to just stop for a drink, be it a cold beer, a glass of whiskey, or a soft drink of your choice. So it's absolutely incredible to think that that's now the end of this particular episode, especially after how long I've been away for. Again, it's not you, it's me type of thing. I hate that particular phrase. So hopefully I'm going to start getting a little bit more content out there. As I say, it's just very, 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 very busy with work and in my personal life and things like that just now. So thank you very much for bearing with me. Thanks again to all of those who have emailed in. If you would like to email with any queries or anything like that, please send them through to scotthistorypod, all one word, at gmail.com. You can also check out the website, which is www.scotthistorypod.com. You can find me on the socials, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, all Scott History Pod. And if you would like to help with the running costs of this podcast, you can join the Patreon, which is patreon.com/Scott History Pod. Thank you once again, folks, for listening, and I will speak to you again next time.